أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this week's show, where we'll be talking about the role of the mother and how crucial it is within the household. Too often, I feel that the role of a mother is undervalued because it is a job that is seen that requires little skill. However, the reality is far from it, because it is from the mother's lap that we find that a child is gaining its primary education. We find that we are social human beings and we learn from example. And so the success of a child lies in the lap of a mother. And so today we're going to be discussing the importance of a mother and the role that she does have within the house. And today with me to discuss this subject is Sister Sophia Virgi, who has studied medicine at the Imperial College. She is also a general practitioner and she works in Milton Keynes. She is a mother of two children, one of whom is three and the second is 7 months. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to today's show.
Assalamu alaikum, Sayyidah.
And my second guest is Sister Nayar Ballu, who was brought up in Dar es Salaam. She went to study in the US and she became a radiographer and works throughout hospitals in London and is a mother of 1 3-year-old. So, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to today's show. So in a nutshell, to either of you, what is the role of a mother within the home?
It's extensive. Mm-hmm. It's extensive. I mean, I don't think we can even start and, you know, finish covering it. I feel first role of a mother in the household is basically to be a mother. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Cover the basic needs of your child, you know, depending on how young they are, feeding them, bathing them, clothing them, playing with them, comforting them, you know, that's being their friend, their guide, you know, their mentor. That's mother's basic roles. Mm-hmm. And while we're home, we're also usually housewives. We also have that role to fulfill. We have to fulfill the roles of many other members of the family who are not present for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I think myself, having grown up not in the West, we're used to having an extended family living with you. And a child can learn so much from every different member of the family, because mm-hmm. everybody's got invaluable information to pass on to that child. And living here just by yourselves, I feel like at some point the mother may actually have to start playing the role of all of these grandmothers and grandfathers and great aunts and great uncles, because what they bring into the family is invaluable.
Yeah. Perfect. And
Yeah, I think Nayab really covered the details of what we do, but in summary, I think the mother really is the centre of the home. So, you know, they are involved in every person who lives in that house, in their lives, every activity that those people do, they're involved in that. I think the mother is the only person in the home who has a dab hand in everything. So you can imagine that. I don't think you can even put into words, you know, what the role of that person is.
Perfect. Now, if we look at the child and child's upbringing, obviously we spoke about caring, we spoke about nurturing, but in terms of when we're looking at raising children, is a mother's role confined strictly to religious education, or does it extend out to secular education? Does the mother need to be wise to the world, as it were? Sister Neil.
I think we've all grown up in the world, so in our ways, we're all wise to the world, mm-hmm. having learnt from, you know, whatever we've gone out there. I feel that a child's education starts off from day one, really. We always tell them, you know, if obviously they can't talk, they're infants, but we will still always say, you know, you say Bismillah before you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, when they wake up in the morning, we will say Salam to them. Obviously they're not responding to us, but they're learning. Mm-hmm. These basic religious things, you know, you teach them, you know, Allah is one. They're not going to respond to you, but you still do that from day one, don't you?
Mm.
You know?
And you're not doing it though prior though. I mean, in our hadiths and stuff, you have it whilst you're pregnant, you know, you need to be reciting certain
exactly,
things.
And exactly. So while the child is already in the womb, you're already doing so much. And, you know, we all recite so many du'as and surahs, and we recite the Quran, and we wear like amulets and ta'weez and all of these things. They already have an impact on the child.
Mm.
And so when they're born, we do obviously do these basics, you know. And then as they're growing, as they're getting more and more involved in the outside world with friends, they have a social life. you know, and they're just more understanding. They comprehend what you tell them. You will start telling them, you know, when they start eating on the table, you will tell them, you know, you don't run around and eat your food. You sit at the table and eat your food. I consider that education. You know, what you do, what you teach this child today is what he's going to become as a person. You know, doesn't it always come back to, you know, did your mother not teach you this? You know, and so it's definitely not just religious. You know, I feel the religious bits come in quite early. Because it just sticks in their heads. And then comes the social bits, you know, that you, when you interact with friends, you need to share with them, you know, you need to speak in a polite manner to your adults, you need to respect people, you know, basic things like if you see an auntie standing there, you know, you get up and let, you know, even though they might not do it at this age, but you start doing it. We still tell them, regardless of whether they do it or not. And then before even they go to nursery, you know, so we're looking at the age of two, right, 2.5, 3, they already know things like tree, car, book, you know. I know it's very, very basic, but that's not religious education, is it? We're already talking to them about what's going on in the world.
I think there's so much overlap, actually, between the morals and values in society and religious upbringing. And I think if you're a good mum, and you're teaching your child Islam, you will automatically find that they are ready to go into the outside world, because you're teaching them how to be polite, and you're teaching them, you know, how to be respectful and accepting and understanding as a Muslim child. So therefore, you may not actively think you're teaching your child religion. You might just think, you know, it's a secular thing, but no, I think if you're a good mum, you are automatically, you know, doing all of these things in one go.
So it's like, it's almost as if like religion and secular are not apart from each other, because
for our religion in Islam, they're not, because for you to when you say non-religious things, what are we talking about? We're talking about really being able to survive in the world that we live. And to survive in that world, I think we do need to be accepting and understanding and nice people. I think that's how we are going to really learn about the world. If we're too narrow-minded, what are we going to learn? We're not going to learn. And Islam, these are the very things that Islam asks us, you know, from an akhlaq point of view and so many other points of view, that this is how you should behave. So actually, a good mum will end up accomplishing all of these things without even realising it.
Perfect, brilliant. And I guess the older a child gets, I mean, obviously they're going into school, they're now learning science, now learning geography. These concepts are not far from the Quran anyway. I mean, the Quran speaks about the sun, the moon, the orbiting. And so when we look at the role of a mother, is it then crucial for the mother to be equipped and versed with this as well? Or do we then separate this is state education and religious education that is taught in, like, you know, supplementary schools?
Yeah. I think most of us have had the basic education and we can relate to what they're learning. But very, very important to stay in touch with what they are learning today. I just, in my own case, I look back 20 years. You know, I grew up in East Africa and I went to school there. And what I learned there, and what I'm just, you know, looking at some kids who are, like, my son's only in Montessori right now. So I'm just looking at the kids who are already in school, and I hear what they're learning, what they're, you know, what sort of sums they're doing. I'm just like, I have not done that. You know, I have no idea what they're talking about, and I have gone to school.
Yeah.
But it's so different, you know, and I feel like obviously we will learn from what they learn, but also to keep in touch with what they're learning at school, because we find these days we hear so much about different topics being discussed at a very young age, which some of us may find inappropriate for our children. And so if we just completely say that's not our bit, you know, let them do what they do in school, we'll do what we do at home. There's no connection. We need to be aware of what's going on at school. And the more I think we're involved in what goes on at school, what friends they have, what do they like, what do they not like, you know, we speak to their teachers, the more, what can I say, with it that we are. If we're as cool as our kids, then they are more likely to come and speak to us if they have anything to talk, you know, I'm sure, which they always have stuff to talk about. But we always fear that they may not come and talk to us about certain things. And in a very simple way, even just by just keeping in touch with what goes on at school, I think we can, you know, modify ourselves into their lives, what goes on into their lives, and we can talk to them at their level.
It's and important they can get to be comfortable able to with us. Bring yourself down.
Yeah, I think these days you need to be a friend to your child, and I think the way to do that is to know what level that they're on. And like Nayab had said a bit before, you can start to educate your child from day one. All you need to know is what is age appropriate. So my child is a month old. What's age appropriate to teach them? You know, my child is one. What's age appropriate? So you don't lose them. Mm. It increases the bond between you and your child. And I think we don't need to be scared as mums that our child is learning something that we don't know. My nephew Ali is studying for his 11 plus. And the other day he used a word in conversation and laughed afterwards, and I didn't know what it meant, you know, and I just felt so stupid. But, you know, and I thought to myself, my God, you know, kids have to be so clever now to get anywhere. Mm. And I thought to myself, well, you know, what would I do if this was my son and he was saying things like this all the time? And I think, well, I probably would just open the dictionary, work out what it means, and then laugh along 10 minutes later. You know, but I think the point is, I think we need to make that effort. So rather than say, I have no idea what that meant, and just forget it off. Learn what it means. You know, it's a 2-second job, and you will appreciate, if anything, your child's sense of humour. So it will have, you know, brought you together. So I think they learn things so quickly when they're younger. So it's really important to embrace it, you know, rather than think, like Nayab was saying, that's what they do, this is what we do. You know, embrace it, because as a mother, you are the only constant in that child's life. So, you know, you don't want to suddenly lose them when they're at school. Mm. You know, you always want to be with them, you know, and able to have a part in what they're going through.
I think we always undermine what our children can actually do.
Mm, definitely.
And I think they reach their potential when they're around people their age. And they're in their element, as we call it. And, you know, just the other day, I just had the parent-teacher meeting at my son's Montessori, and I went into his classroom and I saw all the work that he'd been doing, and I was just baffled. I had no idea my 3-year-old could do that. You know, it just makes you realize that how quickly time is flying. Mm. Your child can actually do so much, has the potential to do so much, but it just never occurs to us, because when they come home from school, they're tired, right? Whenever they see their moms, most of them act up, right? Mm. Most of them want that extra cuddle from mommy. We don't see that other part of them, that we don't see their potential. And I think it's very important to keep in touch with that as well.
Just talking about the potential, it reminds me of Nashr Balagha in Letter 31, I believe, and Mama Lee says, I hasten to mold you as you're young, because your heart will accept whatever is strewn upon it, because it's an unfertilized land. Yeah. So we're talking about children being unfertilized land. Before, like, we go into understanding children and the potentials, I just want to ask both of you, I mean, you're both professional women, and, you know, you've worked hard to get to where you're getting to. I mean, you studied business and you studied medicine. How was motherhood in comparison to this, getting this professional degree and working professionally?
I love being a mum, and I find it amazing, really. You know, every time when I put my kids to bed, the novelty hasn't worn off. My son's 3, you know. And every time I put them to bed, I just think to myself, my God, you know, this is some crazy mad life that I live. And it's just so amazing. You know, nobody takes this away from me, alhamdulillah, you know. Now, I love my work. I know that I can go to work and it can make me feel happy. The happiness may not be there all of the time, but I do feel a sense of accomplishment that is different to having the children. And I think my ideal world, I still feel, after having 2 children, my ideal world would still be to combine the two. So I still feel very strongly that I think the combination of the two is where I see myself at.
And so exactly doing what you are doing, you're a mother and you're a doctor at the same time. And it's important, I think, to keep your own identity, because otherwise,
Absolutely.
I mean,
Absolutely. Like, for instance, when I went to college, you know, I was 17, and I felt like this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Cried a lot, you know, took on a lot of new responsibility and felt like this was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Went on to my first job, you know, responsibility took on a new meaning, that I was responsible for those patients of mine. I had to make decisions for them. But yet, when you become a mother, the words challenge, sacrifice, hard work, take on a completely different meaning. You know, I feel like at work, the more experienced you get, usually the easier it gets to do your job. You're mm-hmm. more comfortable doing your job. You get promotions. Being a mother, I don't think you get promotion, do you?
You just stay a mother.
Yeah, you just stay a mother. And you're faced with all these very different challenges every day. We've been mothers for 3 years, and I don't think we've had a dull moment in thinking we've got this covered. You know, I know what's going to happen.
We're
now.
Smug for a day, yeah. And then the next day
you get real happy and say, "I think I've got this covered. I think I know what I'm doing." The next day, everything blows out of proportion again. You're just like, okay, you're back to square one. So, comparing work, comparing professional life, and comparing a mother's life, the challenges in a mother's life are obviously way more challenging. But I think this makes motherhood sound negative, sound scary for some people. But I would like to say that the joys that you get from motherhood, the way your life just changes. I don't think we even knew this life before. We didn't even know this life existed before we had our children. And it's just like, wow, you know, for me, it's like, I think this is where I want to be. And I remember the day I went back to work, the first day I went back to work after I had my son, he was almost two. Mm-hmm. So I'd stay home for a good 2 years. I went to work and I said, what am I doing here? I don't even know what's going on here. I want to go back home. This is, at home is where I belong, you know?
Mm.
But that's, you know, every person. So combining, again, I'm also back at work, and combining the two I think is important, is you need to maintain what you do. And for whatever reason, for your future, you need to keep up your profession.
And is it important for your children to see you successful in the fields that you are? I mean, does it give them a goal to aspire? I mean, I guess, I don't know whether your children are
I think children learn a lot, obviously, from their parents, and I think they need to understand what hard work means. But also, I think they need to see that parents are happy doing a job. I think that's the most important thing. When people say, what would you like your son to be, as if I'm the one who's going to make that decision, I always say I want him to be happy, because I think to myself, I don't really care what my son does. I need to know that he comes home in the evening and he's happy with his day's work. Mm. And I think that we are the role models, effectively. So if he sees that we go to work, we do a hard day's work, and we come home and we say alhamdulillah, I think it has an impact on them. And I think the other reason it's important is, especially in the West, where they have every possible item they could ever want to buy, mm-hmm. I think they need to understand the concept of money.
Yeah.
You know, so if they don't see mommy and daddy going to work hard, how are they going to understand that you need to prioritize what that money is going to be spent on? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that in itself is also an important lesson. I think gone were the days back in, you know, Mombasa and everywhere else where, you know, they just went outside to play for entertainment. Now it's
we
encourage it as much as possible, but it's difficult, you know. So I think it's there's lots of lessons you can teach your child if you're working.
And are your children inquisitive on the roles that you do at work, and, you know, what it entails? And,
you know, very funnily, I've never heard my son actually say this in front of me, but one day apparently he went to Montessori and said, my mommy goes to hospital for office. And I was shocked. I said, where did he learn that from, you know?
Mm.
But obviously it shows me how aware they are of everything that happens. I may have said it once, I don't even remember when I said it, that, you know, because Baba goes to office, and so Mama goes to office as well, and Mama's office is in hospital. I may have said it, but he picked up on it, and I think it plays a massive role in them. They realize the responsibility that we take on, and this is life, and you make something of yourself. Even if you're just a mummy, it's not just about being a mummy. You can do what you want as well.
They're brilliant. And are your kids running around with stethoscopes or?
It's actually really funny in my house because the time when my son became a lot more, you know, alert and mature has been the last year, and that's the year I haven't been working. So the time when he would really click and embrace the fact that, you know, I'm a doctor, he's never seen it. And you know, I usually, when I speak to him about new things, I like to show him as well. So I haven't actually really told him outright that this is what I do for my work, but he loves to go to the doctor's, his doctor, or if my daughter has an appointment, he likes to attend. So he's obsessed with doctors, he's obsessed with equipment, and yet he has no idea that this is my bread and butter. So I wait for the day where I tell him, and I do wonder whether he's going to think, "Mommy, this was all my idea, you just totally copied it and taken it off me." So yeah, so he doesn't actually know. I think he just thinks, "Mommy, stay at home and drop the children to school and make their lunches and dinners." I think that's what he thinks we do, because the time when he was really tuned in has been the last year, which is, let's be honest, that's what I've been doing. So
bless. Right, perfect. We're going to go off to a short break now. We will come back. To my viewers, I hope you've enjoyed the first half of the show, where we've been talking about how crucial the role of a mother is, and that it actually starts from the moment that you conceive the child, where you start educating them. Because, you know, in the Islamic ahadith, there are, you know, different a'mals that you need to perform whilst you are pregnant, and then once you've had this child, you are then their role model. We've been talking about the fact that you need to try and bridge the gap between what they're learning at school and trying to pair this with what you're teaching them at home, so that you're able to align both of them, so that you're able to meet any obstacles, if there are any, and try and hit them head on. Both of my guests today are professional working women, and we've been talking about the fact that, you know, that these things actually do have an impact on their children, and they look up to their mothers as role models. So do join us after a short break, whilst we'll be continuing discussing how crucial a role a mother plays within the household. Respected viewers, welcome back to the second half of today's show, where we're discussing the important role that a mother plays within the household. I'd like to welcome back my guests, Safia Virji and Niyar Balu. Welcome back. If we go straight back into the show, and we've been talking about the fact that, you know, educating a child actually starts from the moment that you've conceived, but talking about religious education now, I mean, obviously that's now, you've had your child is now born. Are there any guidelines that when a mother should actually start to educate? If I could start with you, Sistina.
You know, as I said before, I think we start from day one. I start from day one. We do little things like, you know, you say salam, you say bismillah, you tell them that, you know, Allah is one. It's basic, you know, religious education. And you go on as age appropriate. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, they start asking questions. And things like, you know, when you show them a tree, for example, you can stem off of that and where the tree come from, you know, do you know? And you know, and you kind of try to bring Allah into that and say, who made the tree? Just very basic, very very, very basic concepts. And I think it goes with their age as to how inquisitive they get and what they can understand.
It's a bit conceptual, always, I guess. Yeah. When they're younger,
there's always something that you can teach your child. Mm. You know. Mm. To others maybe it seems small, but then, you know, they are small. So you know, like Ibrahim always knew this concept about Allah. Mm-hmm. But for the first time only recently, he showed me something, and I said, you know, do you know who made it? And he said no, and I said Allah made it, and he said, oh, okay. And then he was able to then tell me, Mummy, Allah made this. Now there's no point when he's one asking him you know, he can barely say tree, you know. So you know, so there's always something small, but I think the talent and the gift of a mum is knowing when is the right time to take it up a level. And I have to say, I feel so strongly that if your intention is there to do the best by your child, you will succeed. I don't think you need to reach a certain level or, you need to have covered a certain syllabus as a mum. Mm. I think you just need to have that simple intention of doing the best by your child and trying to bring them up as a good Muslim, and you will do a good job.
Mm. Perfect, brilliant. So we're trying to understand the importance of a mother within the household, but I just want to deflect off this for a little while and look at the role of the fathers. The fathers play as crucial a role as the mothers do. I mean, this is a woman's chat show, but I kind of like feel that from my experience, you know, my father would go to work, my mother would go to work too, but my, you know, they would, one would do the night shift, one would do the day shift. So my mum would do the nights because my dad would find it easier if the kids were asleep. And I was just, I'm a bit like, but then when it comes to my upbringing, my dad's like at work because he's not here. He's only around when I'm asleep. Well, this is when I was younger. I mean, yeah. Obviously he's more around now. I mean, what are your, I mean, you guys are mothers of young children. Do you have anything to contribute on the role that the father plays?
You know, as you said, fathers are not necessarily in the house all day. And that way, I think the mothers just end up spending more time with the children. And from what the children can remember, it's always been mommy, 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 you know? Mm. I mean, it's nothing, I mean, not the fault of the fathers in any way. They're usually at work the whole day, come back, they're tired. But they do play a very crucial role, even if it's just being there for the child. I think the male role model is very important for the child. And also the mother and the father deal with, they're their own people. They deal with different situations in their own ways. The child can observe both of these and learn from what they choose to learn and to pick the best from both of them and to then make their own, you know, decisions about how to move on. And, you know, sometimes we get, you know, real flustered about certain things, and the father will see it from a completely different perspective and bring a light to it that we don't. You know, so everybody, both of them, the mother and the father, have got their very respective roles, and they complement each other. And I think that's the way Allah has just designed a man and a woman, to complement each other's roles as parents.
Yeah, I think the children can learn from the father. Even the father isn't, if the father isn't intending to teach, there's always something. And I think even in this question, it stems back to the fact that the mother is the center. Because as a mum, you can facilitate, you can make a decision to say, I will make there be an interaction. Mm. So if you actively facilitate it as a mum, even if it's just daddy's come home, he's tired, the children are upset because they want daddy to be springing and bouncing around the room, you then as a mum can say, do you know why daddy is tired? Do you know what daddy has been doing today? Do you know why daddy did this today? And already you have then created a relationship and a bond between the child and the father, because you are bringing about a respect and understanding between them. So the father doesn't have to be bouncing off the walls for there to have been some interaction or something to learn from the child, from the father to the child.
Brilliant. I know we touched on this a little earlier, but maybe just to go into a little bit of depth. You know, we live in a secular society, you know, London is very cosmopolitan. How do you equip your child to cope in the real world and engage on a cosmopolitan level?
You know, our children learn from example, and we are living the real life, you know, in front of them. And they're constantly watching us, you know, like when I said, you know, when my son just went to Montessori and said, my mom goes to, you know, office at hospital. And so it just makes you realize they're like a sponge. They're absorbing every single thing you say, you do, you look at, how you react to certain situations. They're observing everything. In one way, if you look at it in the opposite direction, it's probably a one way to watch yourself as to how you react to a certain situation, because you know somebody is watching you. We all know Allah is watching us all the time, but to have a physical little person absorbing everything from you,
because they mimic it,
kind of makes you want to watch what you're doing as well. My approach to kind of just expose them to the real world is let them figure it out for themselves. Guide them, nudge them along, and support them and say, you know what, if you fall, I'm here. We'll pick you up again, and you're off, you'll go again. And it's the harder way, because they will cry, they will fall, you know, they will not want to do anything again. They'll just want to run back to mommy, and that's fine. And we will just turn them around and say, it's okay, I'm here for you, you go do it again. And that way, I just feel it's very important to let them fight their own battles, obviously age appropriate and whatever's appropriate for that child. at the same time making sure that they know that you are there to fall back on.
I think if you instill a strong religious foundation at home, I think it should give your child the confidence to go out and be comfortable in any kind of environment, because you know that is what our religion teaches us. You know, embrace, you know, different people, different environments, and you know, maintain your character and such. So I think really if you at home try to bring up your child with these morals and values and then expose them to the situation so that they can come home and say to you, Mummy, I saw this, Mummy, I did this. I suppose slightly off the topic, but we recently went out and my son said to me, Mummy, what's that on that person's face? Because they had like a quite prominent birthmark. And I knew that he didn't mean it in a discriminatory way. He simply found something new. And rather than, you know, say, you know, he didn't look at it as though it was a problem. It was just different. So his immediate reaction was, Mummy, what's this? So then I could take the opportunity to say, to then talk a little bit about people who are physically different to each other. You know, so I think just exposing them early rather than being afraid. Like, I could have been afraid that what if that person feels, you know, awful and targeted and this, that, or let me keep my son away from that person in case he says something and it gets really embarrassing. Or I just thought, no, you know, yes, this person's got a birthmark, the next person's on crutches and someone's on a wheelchair and someone else has got glasses. You know, we all have these things, and unless we don't start talking about it, you know, he will think that anything that's different
can't be spoken about.
So
then important for us to then be as involved on the religious level.
I think communication is vital. And I know several friends that have been in a situation whereby their children have got, you know, quite important, say, school exams or whatever, and say have been given a piece of homework which they think isn't really particularly important, and more a case of they needed homework that week, and this is what they decided to get, and the parents have just decided not to do it. I always thought, that's fine, but if that's how you feel and there really is something going on and you're really pushed into a corner and you need to prioritize and you have made a decision that you think is for the best of the child, then that's fine. Talk to people. You know, tell them that, you know, it's not just that we wanted to watch TV instead. You know, we were put under pressure. We had to prioritize that at this particular moment. What are we going to spend our time doing? And this is what we had to do for the overall betterment. You know, and I think people will be a lot more understanding and respectful of the fact that, you know, you had to make a decision under pressure, which not everybody can do, you know. And that's okay. And in the same way, it could be school that suffers. You know, now and again when we have big programs going on, you know, Ramadan, whatever, Muharram, sometimes, you know, school have to be understanding too. But I think the vital thing always is if you have your best interests, a child's best interests at heart, and you've had to make a little sacrifice in an area, is just talk to the people to keep up the respect and the understanding for the future.
Brilliant. Now, mothers, and I'm not speaking of myself, it's just things that I've heard, mothers sometimes feel that they're constantly working 24/7, but they're not as appreciated in the role that they play. I mean, you know, they feel that, you know, their role is understated, be it in the wider world, be it in the demographics at home. You know, the husband will come home and say, what have you done all day? The fact that, you know, the kids are clean and in bed is all dismissed. I mean, Is this mentality true? And, you know, are there ways of combating it?
You know, I think we've all seen many jokes on what this is. That this picture of where husband comes home from work, the wife / mother is sitting at the kitchen counter, having a cup of tea and reading a book, or just, you know, doing whatever she wants to, and the whole house is an absolute tip. The kids are running wild. You know, he's never seen the house like this before. And he comes in and says, what's happened here? And she said, you know, well, you asked me what I do all day, and I haven't done anything all day. And that's, you know, it shows. I think all of us go through this. You know, we wake up in the morning with 15 things in our mind. I need to get this done. I need to get this done. But our partners are not necessarily aware of how much we're already thinking about what needs to be done over the course of the day. And we just move on with this like a second nature. Just keep doing things, you know. Something inside, you know, pick it up, lift it. This is not right. Do it, you know. I don't think anybody else figures that, you know. I don't think anybody else feels like that. That, you know, we just constantly keep writing things. We just keep making sure that everything is still where it belongs. You know, nothing's going too crazy. If we just let things happen, then it would be a little bit crazy. But again, when our partners, when our husbands come home, you know, I do get this question many times, you know, what did you do all day? And you start thinking, where should I even start from? You know, but that happens with all of us. And I think that instead of what we usually do many times is, you know, go, you have no idea what I did all day. You know, you come back and you're so tired and you just put your feet up and I can't do that because I still have so much to do. And, you know, I did this and the kids were screaming and yet I had to cook and yet I had to go out, you know, went to Sainsbury's and, you know, the kids, you know, threw a tantrum or they threw everything on the floor. You know, the worst nightmare, and you say, you think you're tired? Do you know, have a day in my life, you know, you will have no idea what I'm doing. And that is true. I think we all do that as
he's
well.
He's already switched off at this point, hasn't he?
Yeah, but at this point, he's already like, oh, God, here we go again, right?
He was just making conversation before he brought the pillow out.
And, but I think we should need to accept that this happens, and we need to appreciate them for what they do. You know, even if it's just helping us with the dishes after dinner, and we think, oh, that's what he's supposed to do anyways, you know, he should do something of the household. Fine, but we need to appreciate that as well, you know, and say thank you for doing that, you know, and not just say that you didn't do nothing all day. And something my mother told me was that, you know, as a mother, you get Jannah under your feet. How do you think you get it? You're not just going to get it out of nowhere, are you? You need to work for it. And since inshallah you have Jannah under your feet, enjoy it. Don't share it with anybody. And then my husband tells me, which is a very wise idea, you know, he just says, have no expectations. It's a very simple line that you just go around life. And I don't think that applies to just the two of you. It applies to just your whole life. And just says, don't have expectations because then you
can't get hurt.
Because you don't get hurt then.
Definitely. I mean, we're coming to a close. We have a couple of minutes, but are there any insights from you?
I think it is common to feel this way. I think if you ask most mums, I'm sure, you know, they have felt like this on days, if not all the time. But if it comes to how do you make yourself feel better, because it's not so simple to just tell your husband to snap out of it. You know, this is life. I have to say I really treasure my moments with my children, and I actually feel honoured that I was the person that they needed to make their dinner for them, and the person that they really wanted to pray their surah before they went to bed. And when they're hurt and they come running to me and they say, Mummy, then I think this is because of all the time I spent with them, and it makes me feel so happy. So although yes, there's a part of me which is like, oh yes, you know, I wish I had a bit more help, this, that. It would come at a cost, and I love the relationship that I have with my children because I was able to be there for them. And I just think the second point is, I find a lot of us don't ask for help enough. I think if we gave a very clear and concise and simple instruction, please could you quickly do this for me, I think it would be done. I think the problem is we think, yeah, but by the time I explain it, and then
I might as well have done it myself.
Yes. And that's what we do. And then we think, well, why, you really should have done it. But how are they going to do it? So if we're realistic, they're tired, quick, you know, 5-minute job. I think it probably
like
would
I
be done.
I want you to do it, but I want you to do it the way I want you
and
to
I
do it.
And I don't necessarily exactly. want to have had to tell you to do it.
Yes.
I think really, you know, we're expecting too much. I think a simple job, you know, could you just tidy up the toys this evening for me? It probably would be done, and if not this time, next time it would be done. You
probably leave all the simple work for them to do in the evening.
Simple,
to do all the hard
small
work.
Jobs, yeah.
Perfect, brilliant. Well, I'd like to thank you both for your contributions today. It's been an insightful discussion. To my guests, to my viewers, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I mean, we have been talking about the role that the mother plays within the household, and as one of my guests rightly pointed out, that Jannat does actually lie under the feet of a mother's, and that comes at a cost. And as my other guest pointed out, that all the time and the effort that a mother puts into raising her child creates a bond that actually is invaluable. So do join us for our next show. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.